as I was preparing this, I saw my eyes going over something that a saint of the past who said this: there is no ifs in God's will, and no place that is safer than the centre of his will. And I thought that that was very apt. We are at our safest when we are in the will of God. That is his protection, his preservation. That is his will. That is what pleases our Father. And that is the most safest place to be in. You see, the will of God isn't an idea that you add on to when you become a Christian and you come into this walk. The will of God is a deliberate choice. It is not something that you stumble over or it's presented to you as a good idea. It doesn't take long when you open the Word of God that you will see running right the way through from Genesis to Revelation that there is the will of God for your life and for the world. And you either line yourself up to it or not. The will of God is actually black and white. And of course, human nature doesn't like that. But that is the fact. We know something very clear if we turn briefly to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 to 20. Ephesians 5 verses 15 to 20. This is how we're to walk in the will of God. He says here, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So we can understand, we can learn the will of God as it's revealed to us. And a lot of the will of God is a revelation to us. "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." In other words, don't get caught up in the world and riotous living and all those sort of things, because that is a hindrance to learning the will of God. And here it is, "speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." So we want to know the will of God, and the will of God is revealed to us, and the will of God is also involved when we speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the will of God. And we're not always very good at fulfilling that, are we? You see, when you speak to one another in psalms and hymns, in other words, you're encouraging one another. When we come together for fellowship, we sing the Word of God, we sing those psalms, we exhort one another in the Scriptures and so forth, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And in our prayers and in our testimonies, giving thanks always to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the will of God. That is his will. That is the environment that he's baptized you into the house of God. And if we don't fulfill and stir this up in our midst, then we're not doing the will of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. So in other words, it's not about what you get out of it, it's you're submitting, you're yielding over, that the Holy Spirit can lead and move through you. It's not just left to the pastor. We're talking tonight about God's will being accomplished. And that is not profound, what we have just read there. That is not something that you have to study and learn for years and years and years, or go to theological college. No, not at all. It's something that comes out of your life, your heart, those rivers of living water. Your love, your appreciation, your thanks to God. And God has said, open your mouth and I will fill it. So that when we get together, it is a blessing. It's reminding us of the will of God for our lives. Sometimes we're so absorbed in doing the will of God for our life that we forget that there's the will of God over Full Gospel Assembly. There's the will of God for your brother, your sister in Christ Jesus. So the will of God is far, far bigger than your life. And it also, of course, includes this earth, the heavens, the glory of God. It is huge. The will of God. Well, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And that is what I'm fundamentally basing this teaching tonight on, this verse. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So the will of God, as we look here, needs to be accomplished, fulfilled in your life. And as it goes on, and it says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So the will of God is that you stay with it, you endure, so that his will is accomplished in and through your life, through the body of Christ, through all of those things that we find ourselves in, whether it be in fellowship, or whether you're praying, interceding, or praying for somebody else, or whatever it would be. Much of our prayers and intercessions is for the will of God to be accomplished. That is the nature of our prayer. And that's why he says in verse 35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. And we know that God is gracious, he is rewarding, he's going to give great rewards. And he will, because it's about his will. And so this tells us why the will of God is to be accomplished. And you know, one of the great reasons why we walk by faith is for God's will. We see this in verses 37 to 39, which you've just read. It is God's will is accomplished by the fact that we walk by faith. And that's why he gives faith. You know, God's will is that we be saved. We know this in the Lord's Prayer that is prayed. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That prayer is probably recited as the model prayer in religious circles all over the world. And in it, they say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But how many really submit to the will of God? That is the question. As I said at the beginning, it's not a good idea. It's not something that you stumble on. It's not something that you add to your Christianity, to your walk. It is a deliberate choice. It's not about my will. It's thy will be done. Jesus encountered this in Luke 22. When ready to go to the cross, let this cup pass me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, Father. He knew that the will of his Father had to be accomplished in and through him. He didn't seek for revelation. He didn't seek for a way of getting out of it. He knew what the will of his Father was. And you and I, as disciples of Christ, we need to know the will of God for our lives. And to believe and trust by faith that we will remain faithful to the will of God. And we've already just read some of it to you here back in Hebrews Chapter 10. The will of God is a huge, huge subject. It is a subject that you would never come to an end to. It's eternal. There's no beginning, no end, in a sense, to the will of God. But he reveals to us what we need to know in this life and this walk, what is his will, and to accomplish his will. And his church, which is left, his body, is to fulfill the will of God on this earth. We know this. We prayed in the Lord's Prayer. And it is to be done, to be accomplished, before he finally returns. You see, to do God's will is virtually impossible in the flesh. And that's why we walk by faith, because it's God's provision in which to accomplish it. And so, this is why we walk by faith. We preach faith, we make so much about faith, and I make no apology of that, because this is how the will of God is accomplished. For example, let's turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, and you know this one very well, you've got it underlined. Chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. So the will of God for your life is his pleasure. And God will let you experience sometimes his pleasure when you do his will. He will have a way of expressing the desire, the happiness, the gratitude of his heart to you. And if you've not experienced it yet, if you stay with this, you will. Because he loves his will being accomplished in and through us and for the church. Let's couple this with also Hebrews 13. Go back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13 and verse 21. Hebrews 13 and verse 21. They make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the Holy Spirit who sent to us, baptizing us, is to work in us his will. So he says to make you complete in every good work to do his will. So look what the Holy Spirit has accomplished and doing. In every good work to do his will. Now, you have to believe the Lord for that. But that's what he says there. But I believe also, as you make that your prayer, as you make that your confession, that is what he does, and that is what he's going to do, working you, in you, what is well-pleasing in his sight. Again, this pleasure that he gives him. And he's going to let you sometimes share and know that pleasure from your Father's heart. And he accomplishes all of this through Jesus Christ, who did the will of God, fulfilled the will of God. He was obedient unto death. And the will of God, the pleasure of God, was to raise him up, triumphing over death. And he ministers that to us now through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? When we read these wonderful verses. And so we find that how God works is the will of God. There's always a subject, a topic, which is quite controversial, and that is on adoption. There are a lot of Christians that don't actually agree or believe completely in adoption, but God does adopt. We are adopted as sons by faith. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 to 11. We're talking about the will of God, how he works to save, redeem man, how he's worked in your life to save you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 to 11. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, in him. In him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the pleasure of his glory. And so it goes on. There is the will of God. And he says that he's made us aware of the mystery of his will. He's giving us wisdom, prudence, knowledge in order to understand the will of God. And he's doing it according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. So God has pleasure in himself. He takes great pleasure in himself. He doesn't have to look for pleasure. He is pleasure. It is in him. The same as love is him. He doesn't have to find love or be loved. He is loved. He is all those things. And it's for the purpose in himself. That is his pleasure. So his pleasure is that you do the will of God. You do his will. It is pleasurable to him. It pleases him. Now, if you love someone with all your heart, soul, mind and being, then you want to please that person. You want to do what it takes to please them. And here it is. That is the revelation of the bride's heart that makes herself ready. That is what drives her on for the bridegroom. That is what pleases him. So staying with this, enduring, believing, overcoming, triumphing, our battles, our trials, is all for the will of God being accomplished in our lives. Isn't it wonderful how God does this? And as he says in verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. So it is all about the glory of God. So you see, that's why our faith is in his power working in us, both to will and do for his good pleasure. And that is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so paramount for this to be accomplished. And his will, which he has purposed by calling and choosing you. You will never understand why he's chosen you. I certainly don't understand why he's chosen me. But all I know is that it gives him pleasure. And he makes no mistake. And we need to reflect on these things, particularly when the enemy is getting so vocal, or he's trying to oppress our minds, or whatever it is, or trying to work that condemnation, you're no good, look, see, you failed again, fallen flat on your face, or whatever it is. God has made no mistake. You are for his good pleasure. And he's going to let you know that as you fulfill his will. And even his will is fulfilled and accomplished by him working in and through you and I through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that is why we can say confidently, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. We can say that. And we know that he's going to give rewards for those who keep his will. Let's remind ourselves again. Back in Hebrews 10, 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And verse 36, he says that, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And the greatest promise is receiving your Lord and Saviour. Receiving him in his fullness. Being with him wherever he is, wherever he goes. Ministering with him. Working with him. Everything that he is, we are. Everything that he will do, we do. We're not separated from him. This is the reward of the first fruits, the overcomers. We see this in the book of Revelation, that they walk so close with him throughout eternity because they are one with him. They experience that oneness in their earthly life. And this was accomplished and done by doing the will of God. That is why nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It is at the end of the day whether we love him. And if we love him, then those whom you love, you want to please them. That's the question. And all of this is accomplished and will be accomplished by the fact that we walk by faith and not by sight. One more scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And so it goes on. We know this, we recite this so many times, yet we still need to be reminded. Why do we need to be reminded? Well, you only have got to think back to your last trial. How did you react in your last trial? What were you looking to in your last trial? Were you going to the arm of the flesh? Or did your heart and soul and being turned immediately to God? These trials are to expose where we are in the faith. That is why he allows us to go through these. And that is why he says, don't think it strange concerning these fiery trials. Because they're to tell us where we are in the faith. As though some strange things happen to you. It isn't strange. It's not taken God by surprise. It is the will of God, and we're talking about the will of God this evening. Your trial, or the trial that you've just gone through, was the will of God for you. To work in you. His good pleasure to work in you so that you fall more and more in love with him. That is the nature of these trials. Because he says, rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. So a lot of what we go through is because also Christ's sufferings. Because Christ is in you. You're not separated from him. So the very fact that we go through these trials means he's going through it as well. And we know that he has gone before to prepare the way. So it's not just you going through this. He's going through it with you. He doesn't have to do that. But he chose to sit at the right hand of the Father as a high priest, the high priest, to intercede, to supplicate, to show you that he's not let you alone in your trials. That I too go through this. I too am feeling this. I too am understanding this. But the difference is with you and me, I don't think it's strange. And that's the difference. And he's trying to get you and I to be one with him, where we eventually don't think it strange when we go through these trials. So that when his glory is revealed, you will be glad with exceeding joy. Because the glory of God is eventually seen and experienced through these trials, or when you come out of these trials. And that's why we can rejoice. And that's why we can lift holy hands in his presence. God brought me through that trial. And what I learned, what I have experienced. There's nothing like trials to learn the will of God that pleases his heart. Of course we don't like it in the flesh. Who does? But this isn't just about the flesh. This is about you, your spirit, your new life, your new nature that's created in him. It's the work in the inner man that he's working, building. He's ever building in and through us, perfecting us, maturing us, changing us. That is the will of God to be accomplished in your life, my life, and in the church. And if we try to find another place, somewhere different, then we go out of the centre of his will. And when you go out of the centre of his will, that is scary. Because you are vulnerable. You are subject to the powers of darkness and to the attacks. But you and I are preserved and kept by the will of God. And that is why we can boldly confess the word of God. We can confess such psalms as Psalm 91. Because Psalm 91 is the will of God for you and for me. Hallelujah. Well, there we are. God's will be accomplished. He's clearly shown he's going to do it. He will complete it. He will finish it. And he will work with us. And he will bring us to that place. Because he's God. He's all powerful. And God has a will for FGA. And for others who are believing and pressing on into the deeper life. Who want to be part of the bride of Christ. He has a will for us. And I can tell you one of his wills. That we will be preserved and kept when the great tribulation starts on the earth. That is one of the promises. That is his will. That is his heart. That he's going to preserve and keep us. He's going to continue to preserve and keep us from the things that are slowly coming upon this earth. As we see the control more and more prevalent, witchcraft, the enemy, what he's doing. He's preserving and keeping us from all of that. And the only way that we experience that is to be in the centre, the palm of his hand, which is his will, the will of God. We must take the will of God very seriously in our walk as Christians.